Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed Word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
In the book of Esther that appear on the surface to be indeed random, really they are connected together. Reading from Esther chapter 1, verse number 1, we'll just read a portion. Now it came to pass, this is the setting for this book, it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. Verse 15 of chapter 2 says, now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that looked upon her. Esther chapter 4, verse number 14 says, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I'm preaching today by the help of the Lord, an unseen hand guiding me. An unseen hand guiding me. Would you ask the Lord to help us now? Jesus, I'm asking you for your help in the delivery of your word. God, in the next few moments, that you'd help us today in the breaking of the bread of life, and God, that we'd receive it into our hearts, and that our faith would receive the word of God. We would apply it to our souls. Thank you now, Lord, for what you're going to do through your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Can we lift our hands and voices to him one more time? Somebody make a joyful sound of praise and worship and adoration to the Lord Jesus. Oh, let's do it with a great sound of expression. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. And you may be seated. God bless you. Our Bibles began with a three-letter word that forms a monosyllable. It's simply God. And in that three letters is found the hope of all humanity for all time. A hope and a help that comes to us from outside of ourselves, and it comes only from God and God alone. In the Hebrew name for God, El Shaddai, it reveals that this God who is our help, a help that comes from outside of us, is the Almighty. Simply put, El Shaddai simply says that there is none like Him. He is the all-powerful. He is the Almighty. None comes even near equaling who and what He is. It's Scripture that tells us, and those that experienced Him, such as in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 6, that there is none, said Jeremiah, there's none like unto Thee, O Lord. Thou art great, and Thy name is great in might. Said there's none. I can't find a close second that can compare unto the greatness, the magnitude, the power, the majesty, the might of Almighty God. The psalmist, in his experience with God, simply expresses it like this in Psalms 86 and 10, for Thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. After this prophet and this psalmist has experienced the aid, the help, the encouragement, the intervention of God, they came to the conclusion that there is none like Him, and He is God and God alone. We, like the three Hebrew boys, put our faith and our hope and our trust in this God, who, when they stood and facing that heathen king that told them to bow and to bend and to worship at the sound of Babylon, those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when faced with a fiery furnace, simply said in Daniel 3:17, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King." What confidence! I would to God that God would baptize us with that kind of confidence toward God. Our God whom we serve is able. Can somebody say it with me now? Our God whom we serve is able. How many do believe today that He is able? He's not short on power. He's not short on strength. He's not short on ability. He's not old and decrepit. He's not fallen apart. He's not somehow or another retired on the throne. But our God is able. In fact, in the time of life where you and I live right now, and so many confusing things are happening on the left and the right, and there's so much perplexity going on, and there's so many things that are happening, we are much like Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament, who, when he felt the heat of Ammon and Moab at his heels, he simply said, "We have no might against this great company." We acknowledge, we have no might against this great company, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon Thee. I wonder if there's any Jehoshaphats in the house today that can just admit and confess, we got a great company that's pushing at us, and we don't know what to do, and we don't know which way to turn, but our eyes are upon God. Is anybody's eyes upon Him today now? I'm looking to God for my help. And the psalmist says it like this in Psalms 109 in verse number 26. He just expresses it so candidly and so expressfully when he says, "Help me, O Lord my God, save me according to Thy mercies." Now that's just the plain way of saying, "God, we got to have You to come to our aid. Help me, O Lord my God, I got to have some help here right now." And Isaiah says it in his experience in Isaiah 50:7. He simply says, "For the Lord God will help me." David said, "Help me, O God." And Isaiah says, "The Lord will help me." So I've come to tell you on this Sunday morning, God is your help and God will help you. In fact, let's just settle it here at the outset of this morning, that there is help from no other source but from God and God alone. We're living in an age of technology. They got all kinds of stuff. Things that you just don't know what all is happening. We're planning a trip to New Zealand in October. Going to get to go see our kids and spend time with our grandkids and just going to have a good time. And so I've been booking airline tickets, and we're going to do their conference, and going to stay a week or so after the conference and just kind of do a little vacationing time with them in the north part of New Zealand. And we was looking for for a little bed and breakfast, a little B&B that we could all stay in there on the north part of the island. And my wife held her phone up to me the other day, and she said, "Looky here, how in the world did I get this on my phone?" No searches were made on her phone. There was no Googling of New Zealand. There was no looking for flights. And suddenly on her phone, she's got all kinds of advertisement for Air New Zealand. I wonder how all that happens. I can't figure it out. But we're in an age of technology that's advancing, and there's just all kinds of things at our disposal. If you want to know about it, just go ask Google. He, she, I don't know what it is, but it knows about everything there is to know. You just type into it, and it'll tell you. If you want to know how many miles it is to the moon, it's got it. If you want to know how far it is to Starbucks, it can figure that out for you. It just knows everything there is to know. But in this age and hour that we're living in right now, we've got to come to this conclusion. There's none can help me like God can help me. I got a lot at my disposal here now. I got a lot of information right here at my disposal. I can find a lot of stuff. It can get me in a lot of places. I don't have to have a Rand McNally map anymore. I got a little thing on here called GPS, and just type in the coordinates and I'm there. But oh friend, at the end of the day, I need God to come to my rescue, and I need God to help me, and I need God to come to my aid. Oh friend, if God don't help us, nobody can help us. I said, if God don't help us, nobody can help us. We got to quit looking outside for some kind of help. We got to start looking up and saying, God, I need a little help in my family. I need a little help in my home. I need a little help in my life. I got to have some help, God. Somebody say it with me now. Help me, God. Got to have a little help now. And the psalmist says it simply like this: God shall help you, and that right early. God shall help you. Have you ever looked at that 18th chapter of the book of Psalms? It's an incredible chapter, the 18th chapter of the book of Psalms. It's the story of the psalmist describing his plight and his condition and his frustrations in life. And he lifts his voice and he begins to call out to God. And then he describes how God answers, and it's very interesting. Look at Psalms 18 and 6 when he says, "In my distress," is anybody in distress? Don't answer that. "In my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. My cry came before him, even unto his ears." And then look at the response. I like the way the psalmist responds. He says, "Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations and the hills were moved and were shaken because he was wroth." In other words, at the cry of the psalmist, God got stirred up. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth. Coals were kindled. He bowed the heavens. He came down. Darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub. He did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. The translation is simply this: God said, "If you cry for help, I'm on my way." Verse 14, he says, "He sent out his arrows, he scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them." And then I like verse number 16, "He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters." Verse 17, "He delivered me." Verse 19, "He brought me forth." Verse number 29, he says, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall." Verse number 32, he says, "It is God." I wish somebody would say that now. "It is God that girdeth me with strength." Verse 47, somebody say it: "It is God that avengeth me." Oh friend, I want you to know, if you'll lift your voice and cry, God will get stirred up. He'll come off the throne. He'll come down to where you are. He'll shoot out the arrows. He'll discomfit your enemy, and he'll give you strength and help. What's my response to all of this? Psalms chapter 18, verse number 49. Therefore, what's the therefore? The therefore is simply this: because I cried, he came to my help, will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I'll sing praises unto thy name. For if it had not been for the Lord on my side, what would I do? I wish somebody in the house today, if you've ever had God to help you, if you've ever had God to answer your cry, if you've ever had God come to your rescue, I wish you'd just lift your voice and say, thank you, Lord. I give you praise for it. I give you praise for it. You've helped me, God. You've helped me, God. You've helped me. God, I give you praise for it. Now, wouldn't you like for it to be? Now, just think with me for just a moment. Wouldn't you like for it to be that the moment you bow your head, the moment you lift your voice and say, help me, oh God, that instantly, in the moment, God just comes swooping down. That God just come riding in. Now, the truth of the matter is that sometimes it don't always happen quite that way. Now, that's where you and I really have our problem. Because our problem is simply this: we believe God's our help, but we have a hard time when God doesn't come swinging down on a chariot. And we have a hard time when God doesn't come in, nostrils flaring, arrows flying, enemy running. And we're wondering, where in the world is God? Now, probably not in this congregation this morning, but maybe somewhere out there on live stream, there's somebody that's wondered where God was ever at. You've wondered why God has not stepped into your world. Why God has not just kind of come in and taken care of things and put together the pieces of life. But truthfully here today, we've got to address not just the times he comes swooping down. Not just the times he comes stepping in with power and majesty and glory. But we have to address the times when God seems a million miles away. And in fact, he seems rather uninvolved. And he seems rather uninterested in what is taking place. Now, when you look at the book of Esther, Esther's this incredible book in the Old Testament that kind of relates to where some of us are, maybe even at this particular time right now. And it's an interesting story of the preservation of God's people and how God preserved his chosen in a distant land. But what's very interesting about the book of Esther, it's simply this, is the book of Esther has zero mention of God in it. That name El Shaddai, that name Almighty, never mentions the name of God. The word Lord is never found there. God is not referred to in the book of Esther. It's simply the story of a young lady in a heathen land that finds herself in the palace becoming queen, and then suddenly in a turmoil of a nation that's turned upside down, and the ultimate preservation of God's chosen people, but God is never mentioned in that book. Now, the word king in relation to the heathen king, that word king is found over 100 times in that book. And that name of the king is found over 30 times in that book. But the name of God is never ever found there. But can I tell you, just because his name's not found there and he's not mentioned there doesn't mean that he was not there. Because God was definitely in the book of Esther. You understand that the book of Esther takes place in a very traumatic time, a very difficult time. They've come to the conclusion of 70 years of captivity. They've been separated from their homeland. A portion of the Jews have returned back to Jerusalem. And you can find their story in Ezra and Nehemiah, how they're trying to rebuild the temple and they're trying to lay the foundation, and there's struggles and there's difficulties going on. And if you would like to, you could kind of put the book of Esther somewhere between chapter 6 and chapter 7 of the book of Ezra, and it would be happening right during the revival that's going on over here in Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the temple and the renewal of all of these sacrifices. But Esther and the revival in Jerusalem might as well be a million miles apart. Have you ever felt like you're a million miles from revival? Have you ever felt like that you're a million miles from a move of God? Over there in Jerusalem, there's miraculous things that are happening. Couriers come back across the desert, come back to Shushan, and they're telling about the wonderful things God's doing and how He's providing and how He's supplying. And Esther's looking around, and all she can see is heathenism. All she can see is a heathen king sitting on the throne. All she can see is there's a threat out for her people, and that her people are about to be destroyed. And she feels separated and cut off from all the things that God was doing over here in Jerusalem. Has anybody ever felt that way, that you just kind of cut off from everything God was doing, and there was this big gulf between you and everybody was over here talking about, man, I prayed and I got an answer from God, and God provided and God supplied, and you're over here on this side in the middle of the heat of the battle and the difficulty and the problem, and you're praying and God don't seem to be answering, and God don't seem to be moving, and there don't seem to be any provisions coming, and there's no intervention, and you get a bit more news coming across over here, and you're kind of wondering what's going on over there that should be going on here, and why isn't it happening here? But you got to understand, God's working in the book of Esther. He may not be working like He was in Jerusalem, but He's working in the book of Esther. Look at the story very, very carefully, because you will find that there's some events that take place in chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the book of Esther, and they're strung together by one three-letter word called now. Look at Esther chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, now. Somebody say now. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is the platform for the story of Esther. It came to pass in the days of this heathen king that's sitting upon this throne. This is where it's happening. This is where it's all taking place. But now look at Esther chapter 2, verse number 5. Now, somebody say now. Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai. So chapter 1, verse number 1, we got the king sitting over here on the throne. In Esther chapter 2 and verse number 5, we got Mordecai sitting outside the gate of the palace of the king. And so we got a king on the throne, and we got a peon, a little peasant, sitting down over here by the gate toward the palace. And so we got an event over here, and we got an event going on over here. But then look at Esther chapter 2 and verse number 12. We got another turn of events. It says, now, when every mage's turn was to go in to King Ahasuerus. Now we got another little event going on, and Esther, who is the niece of Mordecai, she's now been called to become part of those that are applying to become queen over Shushan and over the Persian Empire. And so now this is going on. So we got a king on a throne. We got Mordecai sitting over here by the gate. We got Esther going in before the queen, or before the king. And then Esther 2 and verse number 15, it says, now, somebody say now. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, was come to go in unto the king, Esther appointed favor in the sight of all of them that looked upon her. Now Esther has been appointed the queen, and you got all these little events taking place, and they look like they don't connect, and they look like they don't go together. But can I tell you what God was doing? He was taking each little event like a bead on a string, and He was stringing all of them together, because what was happening in the palace and what was happening down here at the gate looked like it didn't connect, but God was putting it all together. Can I tell you, there's some events going on in your life that you're wondering, what's this doing and what's this doing and how's this all fitting together? And God, at the end of the day, is going to string all of it together, and it's going to form a wonderful and a miraculous story, because God's got His hand in your life working things together. You understand? David was fleeing from his son Absalom, and he had been He was being charged by Shimei that he was reaping the judgment of God. And so David prays in Psalms 42 in verse number 1 when he says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God?" But notice what David said. I may not know where he's at. I may not be able to find him. But he goes on in Psalms 42 and 10 and he says, "As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Oh, friend, what you got to do is when you don't know where God is, you got to tell your soul, look up. Because you understand that even when you don't see it, God's working. And even when you don't feel it, God's working. He never stops. Hear me now. He never stops. He never stops working. Just because you don't know where he's at the time doesn't mean God's not there. He's putting together events in your life, and it's going to eventually form a beautiful, miraculous story that's going to give glory and praise unto God. I've come to tell somebody on this Sunday morning, God is involved in your life. You see, I don't believe in coincidences. Life don't just happen. I believe in the providence of God. I believe everything happens in our life for God to put things together and make a beautiful picture and a beautiful event out of our lives. If you just lift one event, it can look pretty bad. Look at Christ on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth. He prays the prophetic word from the book of Psalms, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It looks like he's abandoned. If you just lift that event, it looks like a dark day. But understand, that event doesn't stand by itself, because there was another event 33 years before that in Bethlehem when he was born into this world. And you got to connect that event, that dark day on Calvary, and when you connect that to that dark day on Calvary, you understand there's another event on a Sunday morning when Jesus rises from the grave triumphant. And when you put it all together, you got the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your story is not told in one event. God's putting several things together, and when he puts it all together, it's going to form a beautiful picture. Because God's hand of providence is in your life right now. It just happens. Remember that story in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. There was a little lady. She was lived in a place and called Shunem, and she wanted the prophet to come by. And scripture says it like this: it fell on a day that she just gave a little invitation to the prophet. And said, "Would you come by my house and would you have a meal at my home?" Just fell on a day. Just gave a random invitation. You know, like you would give an invitation to pastor to come eat with you. See how I got that in there? She just gave this random invitation. You know, just come to my house and eat. But then it says, it fell on a day that the prophet showed up uninvited. He just came back unexpectedly. Now, if there hadn't been the first day, there wouldn't have been the second day. And so now he just shows up unexpectedly. And when it fell on that day, he said, "God's going to give you a child." And he places a prophecy over her that she's going to have a child. And then it says it fell on a day that after that child was born, that child got sick and he died. It looks like they're all independent days. But when you put them all together, they form a picture. Because if she had not invited the prophet, he would not have come back the second time and made the prophecy. And if he hadn't come back the second time for the prophecy concerning the Son, then the Son would not have been born, and the Son would not have died, and then God would not have had the chance to raise him back to life again. And so it wasn't just falling on a day, it was God stringing events of life together to form a beautiful picture. Can I tell you, don't judge your life on one day. Don't judge your life on one moment. Don't judge your life on one experience. Say, okay, God, I got this day, but Lord, what's the next day you're going to put on it? And what's the next day you're going to put on it? Because when it all comes together, God's got a beautiful miracle that he's going to put together. For there is an unseen hand. Does anybody believe it now? When I don't know where God is, when I don't know what God's doing, when I don't know how God's working, there is an unseen hand of the Lord that is working, that's maneuvering in my life. I may not feel him. I may not know quite what he's up to, but I've got full confidence that there's a God in heaven that's got his hand in my life, and he's going to work all things together. Somebody hear me now. He's going to work all things. What things? This day and this day and this day and this event and this event and this event and this happening and that happening. He's going to work it all together for the good of Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. Is anybody glad God's got his hand? Somebody lift your voice to the Lord right now and just say, thank you, Lord. Your hand's in my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your hand is in my life. So Mordecai tells Esther in Esther chapter 4 and verse number 14, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? How did Esther get there? There was a king that had a banquet that called his wife that refused to come, that spawned a bunch of other events so that another queen was chosen, so that Esther was in the group, so that Esther was chosen, so that Esther now has favor with the king, so that when the proclamation is given for the destruction of all of Israel, Esther is in place. Can I tell you what God's doing with your life right now? He's trying to get you in that place where he's designed and he's purposed. And I just got to trust that unseen hand of God. And I've just got to believe that he's guiding me and he's leading me and he's ordering my steps. So whether I know where he is or not, I can acknowledge the fact that God's got his hand on my life. I've told the story a million times, but I'll never forget December of 1985 when that 28-foot travel trailer that we were pulling jackknifed on that ice, threw us across the median in front of that Peterbilt semi. Lost total control of the vehicle, and that trailer's slapping from one side of that vehicle to the other. Slapped back around this way as that semi came and just plowed through the middle of it. Took it out. I don't remember any of it taking place. Just when everything settled, I looked over at my wife and she's crumpled in the floor. She'd been thrown across the four-wheel drive shift in the vehicle. And I'm thinking I'm having this surreal moment, and I just know because I saw the last thing I remember seeing that semi coming at me and thinking this is it, and somehow or another I think I'm looking down on something that I'm not there, and I'm having to just realize I'm here. Wasn't long till there was a car pulled up. And he jumped out of the car. I've still got his bank statement, his little deposit slip in my files. It's got dirt all over it where it was involved in that accident and pushed from one side to the other. But his name was Roger Bart from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he said, when he stepped out of the car, the first thing he said, God was with you. He said, I saw the accident from the hill back there. He said, God was with you. And I'm trying to wrap my brain around all of this. Trying to get understand. I got propane tanks lying on the road, bursted, spewing propane gas, semis on the other side of the interstate. I don't know anything about him yet. We got clothes scattered all across the highway. My wife, 6 months expecting with our oldest child. I'm trying to simulate all of this, and I'm trying to be kind. And I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm a preacher. I'm an evangelist. Yeah, I know, but I didn't know. I didn't know. It's words I said, but I didn't know. Yeah, I know God's with us. He looked at me knowing I didn't know. And he pointed his finger at me and he said, sir, God was with you. Ambulance arrives, police cars, trying to clean up the mess. As they opened up a lane for them to get through, he was the first car. As he stepped back into the vehicle, pointed his finger back over the door, and he looked at me and he said, God was with you. Now, quite honestly, when you've just been told the child you prayed for 5 years, that they can't find the heartbeat of it, they're taking your wife off to some strange hospital you've never seen in your life, it's kind of hard to say, I know God is with me. But I'll never forget it. As God began to work, as he began to put things together, piece things together event by event by event by event. I cleaned my files out December the 31st every year, boxed them away into a box holding them for that particular year. And as I open that file, I see his name every year. And I have to pause to say, you know what? There's an unseen hand that's working. When I don't know where he's at, I don't know what he's doing. There's an unseen hand that's guiding me, that's leading me. Just feel like I've come to tell somebody on this Sunday morning. God's stringing the events of life together. And you think they're just random events. Just this and this and this and this. But when you put them all together, God said, I've been working all along. I've been making things happen. Would you just slip your hand toward heaven right now? Seems to make sense. None of it seems to fit. Would you let the God that knows how to help just begin to string them all together now. Because when he puts it all together, he's got a miracle for you. He's got something beautiful to take place in your life. He's got a beautiful experience. Would you just reach your hand out with me now? Would you take a hold? There you go, sir. Ma'am. Come on, God's hand is working in your life right now. He's working in your home. He's working in your family. It's not just a bunch of events that are random. God's putting it all together now. He's going to make something beautiful out of it. I wonder from across this building, from wherever you're at, you're just wanting to trust God today. You're just wanting to lean over on Him and depend on that unseen hand. I'm opening this altar right now.
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center, located at 3221 North Porter Avenue in Norman, Oklahoma. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.apostolicworship.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285, or you can email us at info@apostolicworship.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.